Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be gathered here today and, Lord, to hear your word. Pray, Father, that in my weakness that you would be strong today. Lord, I bring to you my little loaves and fishes, and I pray you'd multiply it and feed your people today. Pray, Father, that I would be clear-minded. You would give me the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, this what we're talking about today is bigger than what I even understand. I can't put my mind around it. And Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is our teacher. And Jesus, I thank you that you were brilliant, not only in what you taught, but in what you gave us as a prayer. And I pray, Father, that we would encounter you, that you would teach us. You would open our eyes to see more of you. You would open our ears to hear more of you. Pray, Father, that our hearts would be tender. And Lord, truly, that beyond the sacred page today, that we would encounter you in your word. I thank you so much for this prayer, Lord, in the weeks that we've been studying it. And Lord, I pray it would just be more than a rote memorization, more than just a prayer we pray on Sundays. But Lord, that prayer would be a fragrance of our lives. Jesus, truly, you would teach us to pray. Anoint me to exhort your people today. Anoint me to preach. Give me the words to say. And I pray, Father, that we would truly encounter you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this is going to be our final Sunday talking about the Lord's Prayer. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. I think, I'm still praying about it, we may revisit kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done during Advent. I think that would be a good thing to look at in a more depth. But today, we come to the last petition in the Lord's Prayer. And if this is your first Sunday here and you're like, what are you doing? Where have you been, April? What are you talking about? The sermons can be accessed if you look on the bottom of the page on the second page of your bulletin, fumcdecoin@podbean.com. You can catch up if you're interested in that. But today we come to the last petition in this prayer. And what there's a good thing about doing outlines and putting them in the bulletin, and there's bad things. And today, I'm usually pretty good at following an outline, but today I'm not really going to follow the outline that's in your bulletin. It's good stuff. There are things in there that you can study during the week. But last night in my sleep, I was thinking about it when I ran these off last night. But I thought, no, I'm not going to go there. But last night, it was in my dream, and I woke up thinking about it. So there are several ways. I personally have struggled through the years with this petition. And as I can try to wrestle and try to explain it to you, but it's always better to illustrate it if there's an illustration. So that's what we're going to look at today. This last petition, it's lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if you have a theological, if you know your Bible and you kind of think theologically, there are some issues with that. And this has been my struggle, for years as I've thought about this, because lead us not into temptation. What's the first theological issue with that? First theological issue is God can't lead us into temptation because God can't be tempted. So why in the world would he tell us to pray that? And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to flip over to James, because James can really help us. James chapter 1 and James chapter 2. Because you could translate this, lead us not into temptation. You can translate it that way. And you can also translate it, lead us not into trials. But then that's a theological problem too, right? So what is Jesus, why would he give us this prayer? This is a prayer he gave us in response to Jesus, the disciples' request, Jesus, teach us to pray. In James chapter 1, I think we want to go to James chapter 2 first. No, it's James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to start at verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So when we're praying, lead us not into temptation. God doesn't tempt us. We're really praying that God would guard our heart. It's really what we're praying, that we wouldn't be enticed. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But then this whole thing with tribulation and trials, because you can also, like I said, you can also translate that, lead us not into trials. But again, count it all joy. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded person and stable in all his ways. And so you have this conflict, Jesus giving us this prayer, but he cannot be tempted. We are tempted because of the sin in our own heart. And trials are going to come. And Jesus, in John chapter 15 and in John chapter 16, he says to his disciples, if they persecuted me and they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And he said, in this world, you will have trial. You will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So what are we praying for? Why would Jesus give us this prayer? And it's kind of a paradox. It's kind of a paradox. And the key is, one of the keys, is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some of your translations say, and deliver us from the evil one. And that's a better translation. Because in this world, not only do we have our sinful nature that the enemy can entice, but we also have the enemy of our souls and the devil or Satan. And in Matthew 4. In Luke 4, Jesus is baptized, Holy Spirit's come upon him, and it says that the Spirit of God drove him out into the wilderness so that he could be tempted by the devil. And we're living in a culture right now, and I'm dismayed at what I'm hearing from some of the young people, because there's this thing going around that the devil isn't real, and he's just a figment of your imagination, and there is no devil, and there is no Satan. That is not true, and that is a lie, and that's what the enemy wants us to believe. And we can go into errors in that. We can just think he's not real at all, or we can be scared to death of him and kind of shrink and hide and, oh no, he's out to get us. And both of those are extremes, and we're going to talk about that. But the enemy came, Satan. His name means slanderer. Satan's name he's a slanderer, and that's his name. And one of the reasons, we've talked about this a little bit, but I lived out in Massachusetts from 2001 to 2005, and while living out there, became aware at that time how much in the news media was slanderous and accusations. and mockery and all of that on both sides. And I was like, you know what? That comes from Satan himself. When we participate in slander, when we participate in accusing other people, that's what Satan does. And he is the father of lies, and he is an accuser. And we, in the book of James, it says we need to be careful with our tongue, because our tongue can be set on fire by hell itself. And we need to be careful what comes out of our mouths, because it brings destruction. And gossip, slander, accusing, that's straight out of hell. And we don't want to participate in that. And so the devil, he takes Jesus out into the wilderness, and Jesus withstands him. We've talked about that. Jesus withstood the temptation to be flashy, to be prideful, to be arrogant, and to, you know, to eat bread when he's hungry. He's fasted for 40 days. And Jesus withstood that, but the enemy came and tried to tempt him. If you go over to Job, there's some disturbing things in the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Satan comes to God. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You bless the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So Satan comes, and he's arguing, and he's telling the Lord, he said, "Job is your follower because he has everything. You've given him a family, a wife, a house, and if you take all of that away, then he's gonna curse you." And note that Satan doesn't have any reign that the Lord doesn't give him, okay? And so he says, "All right, you can take all of that away. You can test him. You can do it, but don't harm him. You cannot kill him." And we come over to Luke chapter 22. And this is the key. This is what I really want us to get this morning. Luke chapter 22. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, 31. What are we praying when we say, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one"? Jesus is speaking. They're at the Last Supper. And Jesus says, he's talking to Simon Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat." So Satan has come to Jesus, and he has wanted Peter. And he says, Satan has come, and he wanted to have you, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me." And if you go on to verse 39, they are in the Garden of Gethsemane, and verse 40, he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel strengthening him. Verse 45, and when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And we know the story, don't we? Jesus warned them, pray that you don't fall into temptation. He knew that there were hard things that were going to come. He knew Satan had come to him and asked, you know, for Peter, and Jesus prayed for him. But he warned him, "You're going to deny me three times." And Peter, in his arrogance, in his self-sufficiency and his pride, "No, Jesus, I will never deny you." People, we need, what is our temptation? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There are two things we fight more than anything, and it's our own pride. It's our own arrogance. It's our own self-sufficiency. It's thinking that we can do it all on our own strength. It's a huge warning to us that Jesus said to Peter and his disciples, pray lest you fall into temptation. And where did Peter's pride and arrogance lead him? I won't deny you, Jesus. I'll never do that. Jesus warned him to pray, and he fell asleep, and he didn't pray. And we all know the story, don't we? Jesus is inside, and he's in this mock trial. And outside, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. Servant girl, you were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. You speak like a Galilean. No, I... Mm-mm. Yeah, you were with him. I tell you, woman, I did not know him. And he fell. And Jesus restored him, and we know that story. But what does it mean? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I've had the opportunity the last couple weeks, and it's gonna continue on Sundays that I can go down, working in the Williamson County jail ministry. And I was praying, I don't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday, I was praying and just had a picture in my mind of a white flag, just of surrender. And the word came to mind, complete and utter surrender. And I thought at the time, I was like, oh, that's for those ladies at the jail. And because they're in a place in their lives that they've hit rock bottom, and they know a lot of them know that they've done wrong, and it's time for a course correction in their life. But I think it's bigger than just for those ladies at the jail. We're living in a day and age that it's not enough that we have just a little bit of Jesus. It's not enough that we have a 5-minute devotional in the morning. This world's going crazy, isn't it? It's going crazy. Our nation's in trouble, isn't it? And it's going to take more than just a little bit of Jesus. The greatest temptation we have is to be self-sufficient and think we can do it all on our own strength. And the Lord is demanding of all of us to wave the white flag in total and complete surrender and say, Jesus, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't live this life on my own. I can't be a Christian on my own. I don't want just a little bit of you. I need all of you, Jesus. Everything you died to give me. Everything you died to give me, the abundant life that you promised, the fullness of your Holy Spirit, complete and total surrender. That's what his demand is, complete and total surrender. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, help us not to be self-sufficient. Help us not to rely on our own understanding. Help us to be completely dependent in total surrender of you, not being presumptuous, not relying on our own understanding, in total surrender of him. And we have an enemy, Satan, who is trying to take us out. We read that in our epistle lesson this morning. He's roaming around, Peter says, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, Peter says, standing firm in the faith. The enemy of our souls is an accuser, as I said, and he is the father of lies. And he will accuse God to us, and he will also accuse ourselves. And if that doesn't work, he'll start accusing other people to us. When we have thoughts that come into our mind of God hates you, God doesn't love you, you can never be forgiven, that's the enemy. And he puts thoughts in our mind, and we can choose to own them and then make them our own and believe that lie. Or some of us have trouble, believing that we are loved. Or he may flip it around and say, well, you know what? That person over there is thinking this about you. and he'll start slandering other people to us. And it's not real. And we just start, any of you struggle sometimes with the thoughts in your mind? It sounds like I'm talking about a crazy person, but some of us have, and he'll do that. And that's what the enemy does. If you go over to Revelation chapter 12, again, his name, his very name means slanderer. His very name is the father of lies. And he will, again, try to accuse God. He will accuse us. He will accuse other people. And if he can get us to speak things out of our mouth, to stir things up, gossip, slander, it's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Revelation chapter 12. This would be a fun Christmas sermon. It's talking about a dragon and the woman, and it's the birth of Jesus, kind of in an apocalyptic vision here. But in verse 17, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And so his purpose is to lie to us, bring destruction to us, and bring disunity to the church. And so when we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, help us to trust in you, not in ourselves, and deliver us from the evil one. How do we do that? People, we stand on the truth. We stand on who Jesus is, looking to the cross, that he loves us, that he's forgiven us, that he's ascended, that he's coming back, and we hold on to that truth. I love that hymn that we sang today. How firm a foundation. How firm a foundation. Sometimes when it seems like we're in a storm, and that parable, it's not a parable, but the story in the Gospels, I've preached on this while I've been here, when the disciples are in the boat and they feel like they're going to drown, and sometimes life feels that way, what do we do when life seems out of control? We hold on to the scriptures, don't we? We stand on what we know. Again, more than just a five-minute devotional. We need to get in the Word. We need to pray. We need to stand. Jesus, when he was being tempted, he quoted scripture to the devil and you and I. And then the beautiful part of this is we don't have to fight the devil. We don't have to, because Jesus already did. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 12, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. Through Jesus Christ, the enemy is under our feet, and we are covered in his blood, and we just have to speak his name. Speak his name. Invite him into your heart. Invite him in. Ask him to fill you up and enable you to live the life, the abundant life that he died to give us. And the beauty of this prayer, and again, this is the end of the prayer, but remember the beginning of the prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, our Heavenly Father loves us, and he's with us, and he sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins, and he's with us, and he doesn't define what fatherhood is. Jesus does. He defines. Some of us are very wounded because our earthly fathers have wounded us, but our Heavenly Father, Jesus, defines that. And so that's the beginning. Our Father who is in heaven, and his name is holy, and he wants to make his name holy through us as we believe in him and we've received him. Lord, make your name holy through me. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. He has died on the cross, and he lives, and he's coming back. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you look, one of the things I do want you to look on your on your sermon insert. It's so incredibly beautiful. I've outlined this for you. I've diagrammed this for you. And it's really beautiful because the hallowed be your name, that's petition number one. Your kingdom come, petition number two. Give us this day our daily bread, petition three. And then look at what's under that. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Last week we talked about that. We can only do that standing at the foot of the cross and remembering what Jesus has done for us. And as we receive his forgiveness and his love, then out of that we're able to forgive other people. And it comes out of Jesus and his sacrifice. It's tied grammatically to give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus says in John, I am the bread of life. See how it's tied together? It's tied with what comes before it. And then this is too, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How in the world can we do that? We've got sin in our heart. We're lured away. James says we're lured away. God can't tempt us because he's holy and he's good, but we're lured away by the own sin in our heart. We've got an enemy that wants to take us out. How in the world do we stand? By looking to Jesus. He is our daily bread. It's tied to him. It's tied to him. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We are completely and utterly dependent on him. And as we pray this prayer, don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on your own understanding. We cannot stand apart from him, but we look to Jesus. He is our bread. He is our very life. We're completely dependent on him. And as we look to him and we receive him, we can stand. The last two verses of the book of Jude is absolutely beautiful. How can we stand in a fallen world that seems to be getting darker and darker and darker? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. We can stand. The key is Jesus is able to keep us from falling. As we yield to him, as we surrender to him, we wave the white flag. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do it. Come in, help me, enable me. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us you, Jesus. Fill us with your spirit. Give us you. Give us you. So that we may live in a lost and dying world. What's going to change our nation? What's going to change? What's going to turn our country back to Jesus? It's you and I yielding, waving the white flag, inviting him in, reading the scriptures, letting the Holy Spirit come in and heal us, soften our hearts so we don't use our mouths for slander and gossip and putting other people down, but we build one another up. We love, we serve, we overflow with hope through him by focusing on him and remembering who he is and what he did for us and living that out. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us alone. You didn't leave us as orphans. And Lord, I thank you that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and not loving our lives unto death. And Lord, I thank you that you have defeated Satan. And Lord, we're going to sing about that next week. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal, but one little word shall fell him. We thank you for the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, the name above all names, who rules, who reigns. We're forgiven. We are cleansed. We don't have to tremble and cower. Lord, I thank you for the church. The image that you give us is a church marching on the gates of hell, not cowering in fear, but marching in boldness, marching with fire of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would lead us not into temptation, that, Lord, you would forgive us for being self-sufficient and arrogant and thinking we can do it on our own and just using you, Lord, just to try to get by. Lord, you want full and total surrender, people that are fully yielded to you. It's the only way, Lord. It's the only way revival is going to come. It's the only way, Lord, our nation's going to turn back to you. It's all of us yielding and saying, come in and have your way. Have your way. I pray, Lord, that we would hear you, that we would yield, that we would let you in, and that we would be a church that prays, that we would be a church that's on the march. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, that we would be who you've called us to be. Open our eyes, open our ears. Come in, King Jesus, and have your way. We wave the white flag in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Forget that prayer starts with our Father who is in heaven. Papa God, we praise you and we bless you. We thank you. What a friend that we have in Jesus. Lord, that you want us. You want to spend time with us. And Lord, you want, just more than to be our co-pilot, as the old saying goes. Lord, you want to drive the plane. You want to drive. Lord, you want full surrender. And Lord, I pray we would be men and women who love you with our time, who give you our best, who read your word. Lord, make us a house of prayer. Draw us into intimacy with you. Oh, God, take us deep. Take us deep into intimacy with you, into relationship with you. More than 5 minutes, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for making the way, for sharing the Father, for sharing your Father. Thank you that you're not selfish. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of us that you would come in, that we would take time, that we would long for you, want to spend time with you. And Lord, we would receive your love, and out of receiving your love, Lord, that our hearts would be broken over our own sin. And Lord, that we would be quick to forgive other people because we've been forgiven. That we'd be quick to love, Lord, because we know you love us. Oh, God, come in. Thank you for your love. Thank you. What a friend. What a friend. What a friend. Pray for every person, Lord, that's here today. Holy Comforter, that you would come and comfort. You would draw us close. We praise you. We love you. We honor you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. Pray with me the covenant prayer. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You need anything, I know I can't stay long, but I'd love to pray with you if you need anything. The Lord is here. I feel like he's hovering. And he just wants to shower love on you. He loves you. So Lord, we just receive that by faith. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love. May we be ambassadors of that in a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.